Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I am your host, Jimmy Church, standing right here at the helm on the flight deck that is Coast Studios right here in Los Angeles, California. And I just wanted to say really quick, with all of the craziness that is happening all over the planet these days and this nutty election year that we're involved in and the issues all over our country, the United States, tonight I wanted to bring on two of the very best out there when it comes to life, the world, consciousness. Lori McDonald is a true professional. Not only is she super smart and educated, but she thinks outside of the box. She's a thinker. But with her feet firmly planted on the ground while looking to the skies, and as a friend, I have had many deep and serious conversations with her, and tonight we're going to be doing all of that with you. But first up tonight, though, is Margot Mateus. And like Lori, she's bright, she's sharp, and she has so much to say, and she has helped so many. She's an investigative journalist, and she's the author of Freed by the Light. And tonight with Margot, we're going to go there. We're going to cover it all. We're going to do angels, the afterlife, GMOs, nanobots, aliens, and your special purpose right here on Earth. And we're also going to take your phone calls. So get ready, get comfortable. It's Saturday night. The studio is dark. You know the drill. You can follow me right now on Twitter at JChurchRadio. And as you know, Twitter is live to my left throughout the show. Enjoy the bumper music tonight, too, by the way, because, yes, there is a theme. Figure it out. Post your guesses on Twitter. Let's get started. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and I'll be right back with our first guest, Margot Mateus. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM, and our first guest, Margot Mateus, is an award-winning writer, investigative journalist, and a scientifically verified healer. Her book, Freed by the Light, True Stories of How the Supernatural Affects Our Lives, is based on the mind-blowing documented experiences of people who have recovered from issues caused by soul theft, past lives, alien interference, nanotechnology, and possession. Her clients have experienced instant and dramatic transformations due to the powerful intervening work of the archangels themselves and Margot's finely honed intuitive abilities. And I would like to welcome to Coast, Margot Mateus. Margot, good evening.
Good evening, Jimmy. It's so awesome to be here. Hello, America.
How are you, Margot? Now, Margot, we're gonna take some phone calls in the next segment, but this first segment, we have so much to cover with you. And I want to jump in feet first and go to your childhood, because you were very, very accomplished in your writing and how you went through school. And I want you to address that directly. And when did you find out that you had these abilities?
Well, I've always been a sensitive kid. So I was very sensitive to energies. And in fact, I remember when my grandfather died, I was probably before the age of six. And I remember being disappointed that he didn't come to see me after he died. So I was already really tuned into the spirit world very, very young. And like I told you at the Awareness Life Expo, we had a tornado come through our neighborhood in Illinois when I was six. And while the adults were standing around trying to figure out what to do, I instinctively hit my knees and started praying at 6 years old. And the tornado actually skipped our house and tore the roof off of a building two blocks up ahead. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but I was very religious as a child, and I was actually a miracle baby because I was a change of life baby. My mother was 43 when she found out she was pregnant with me. I was not wanted. She was not in a good marriage, and 43 years old, obviously not wanting to become a mother at that time. And she found out she was pregnant with me because she thought she had a cold, and she found out one day too late to legally get an abortion in the 1960s.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was meant to be here for some reason. Hopefully that will become clear with Freed by the Light.
And when did you, through your education at that age, You developed a career very young when the rest of us are goofing around on our bikes and, you know, out messing around all day. You became a professional rider, graduated school at a very young age. How did you start to realize that you were on a different path from everybody else around you?
I always felt different. I always felt different. I always had this sense, this very, very heavy sense of a mission. I've never had a sense that life is play, ever. Every moment, every waking moment, it's the mission, the mission, the mission. So I've waited until this point in my life to have it really revealed, but I always knew that it was about the light. It was about helping people come back to the light that is love and bring them from the darkness on the planet. But I didn't know what form that was going to take, and that just finally just got revealed this last year.
And with your writing career, you become an investigative journalist. Like I said, when the rest of us are just goofing around, we're trying to figure out life. You already pretty much had it dialed in, didn't you?
You know, it's so funny you say that, Jimmy, because it's so weird. I became a journalist and a newspaper reporter and editor miraculously at the age of 17, and I graduated high school at 15. And my very first day at the Indio Daily News, I went to the pressman, and I had him print up two signs for me. And one of them was, "Remember why you are here." And the second one was, "All things are as they should be."
And
that's
they
kind of weird for a 17-year-old.
Exactly. And they were. And you hit the ground running.
Yes.
Now, the other thing that came to you was the connections to the other side and those types of communications. Tell the audience about that a little bit. And when did that start to happen?
Well, I started having premonitions at about the age of 8. So I would dream something was going to happen at the school and the playground, and it would. And then I started having really interesting dreams of, like, demons and angels when I was 13. And I had this whole series of these really wild adventures with invisible beings and demonic things. And I was in the middle of them. And then that's what my job is now. I'm sort of in the middle of all that now, being a mediator. And then at the age of 15, I started having like full-on visions. At that time, I would see them like people in an oval, like in a picture frame, with their face. And I would see that they were in distress, and I would know that they were hurt or whatever. Sometimes I would feel things in my body, and I knew it wasn't me, so I would call my friends, and it was invariably one of them. And then I was, of course, as we've talked before, extremely religious as a kid. So I was actually at Westminster Pentecostal Church as a teenager, rocking and rolling in the spirit there. And one day when I was about 18, I saw a vision of Jesus, and he was crying, and he said, "If only I could tell you what I meant." And that's really spoke to my heart. And I came home from church that day, and I had a lot of self-hatred. Of course, being an unwanted child, I endured a lot of abuse, basically every kind of abuse you can imagine as a child. And not only from physical people, but a lot of people with a lot of light really are attacked by dark forces as children and even as adults. And so even when I would lay in my bed at night, I knew that I wasn't safe, and I knew that there were things in that darkness that were out to get me. But so at that time, when Jesus gave me that vision, I came home, and God said he wanted to show me how he saw me through his eyes. And so he did, and I saw that I was perfect and blameless, and I stopped beating myself up on that day. And it's kind of been my mission ever since, to help other people get to that same state, you know.
And one of the things that I find interesting in not only speaking with you, but people with your abilities, is the communication and the visions of things from the heavens in the ancient past. And could angels have been confused with E.T.? Could E.T. have been visiting here and they were referenced as angels? And then today, when that communication happens, is there a difference between the two? And do you see that?
Great question. I knew you were going to ask that. So the thing is that, you know, I think in that incarnation that the world has taken and captured of Jesus, I think in that incarnation, Jesus actually was in an alien form because aliens were in control of the world then. And I do believe, I was actually kind of meditating on this before the show because I knew it was going to come up. And what came to me tonight was that at that time, there was this war on Earth. There's been a war over Earth for a long, long time, of course, since its inception. And at that time, Jesus did decide to come down and really kind of pay the price for us, sort of buy us, as a sense, from these aliens. And it really had a meaning. The crucifixion and the ascension has a whole new meaning for me tonight, having thought about this and having really received that, because the Bible talks about the fact that it says, you were bought at a price. You are God's possession. You were bought. You are royal priests. You are royal lineage. And so this whole sense, you know, that we were bought and paid for from someone else who had possession over us is really fascinating. And in the work I do today, kind of as a spiritual lawyer, I literally advocate between alien forces, between demonic forces, between off-planet entities, and the souls that are here on Earth today to get their souls free and back in their control and back in control of the light. So in that incarnation, I think Jesus was both an alien and divine, and he is definitely, definitely divine, because if you talk to me or anybody else talks to Jesus, he is an infinite being. We're not talking to the spirit of someone who's passed away.
And what
we're
do
not
we
talking to an ancient alien. We're talking to a living, breathing, divine being.
Right, right. And so what happens off planet in another solar system, in another universe, is ET religious too as well? And is it Jesus that they are looking to? Is it totally universal?
Sometimes some planets are and some planets aren't. So, for instance, I can only speak to my own experience. There have been instances when I've had to go to bat for a soul, and an alien entity will come up. And, of course, I always work with the archangels. That's my team. I work with the four archangels and a couple others. And we go in there, and most of the time, that divine authority is absolutely apparent. What is always apparent in my work so far over the last 5 years, in doing this with hundreds of people all over the world, is the light itself. So different cultures, different planets, different galaxies may recognize various deities and different names, different incarnations, different iterations, but everyone so far respects the power of the light, because the light, the universe is made of light. Light is everything. So most everybody will recognize and quote unquote obey the law of the light. But there have been times when I've had to actually call in the Galactic Federation, because they were sort of not responding to either of those. And so the Galactic Federation had to basically come in, and their own commanders had to have a powwow and then decide what to do to get that person free. So it's not just in our galaxy, and it's not in all galaxies.
With everything that is going on in the world today, and I think we can all agree, even though we've always had crazy days in the past and crazy periods in the past, the world today seems like it's in flux. And the United States, and we're in a crazy election year, consciousness seems to be a little clouded, and there's like a darkness everywhere. We can feel it. We know what's going on. What do you think is actually happening, and what can we do about it?
Well, I think this is the reason why my book is coming out now. I really do, because this book is meant to be a huge eye-opener of consciousness for everyone. So people don't know that they're pawns in a cosmic game. Now, you go on every night and you talk about it, but it's not crossed over the mainstream yet, right? And I just noticed on Twitter or on Facebook, somebody responded to my post about being on your radio show, and they said, paranormal, is that of God? Uh-oh. And me being the bridge between those two worlds, I have absolute respect for that statement. So I can speak to that woman and say, yes, paranormal is another word for the supernatural, which is another word for the divine. It's all the same thing. But we have become so divided, and religion, of course, was taken over by, I consider, people may hate me for this, but I consider the Catholic Church to be an extremely evil corporation, and it's acted that way for thousands of years. And it's time for these things to start to break down so that the real light can come forward. And when people wake up and realize that they're being used, that they're being manipulated by a myriad forces that they don't even comprehend or have no idea are affecting them on a daily basis, then things will start to change. So as you make that statement, Jimmy, about the darkness, I literally was shown like the dawn breaking through. It's a very small ray of light, but it's coming, and it's coming over the planet. And the more of us that wake up and the more this gets in the mainstream, this is when the change is going to start to happen.
As you know, and I've said this enough, I like to think that I walk around with flowers hanging out of my pockets, right? I'm just that kind of guy. I'm just a positive guy.
You are.
Well, I try to be. But also, I can tell, and I want everybody else to realize that, you know, if something is negative going on in your life, it may not be your partner or your boss or your friend that is the issue. It's something else that is pushing down on everybody. And that's what we need to do, is open up our eyes and realize it's not them, it's something else. Is that a correct way to be?
Yes, it is the way we must be. It's the way we have to be. Because people walk around and they blame themselves, and then the New Age movement comes along and says, you're responsible for everything that happens to you.
Right.
Ooh, nice and neat little thing, right?
Right.
Great device to turn people off. And keep everything endlessly looping down. So if you believe in a concept that there is no such thing as a devil, if you believe in a concept that you're responsible for every horrendous act that ever happens to you, if you walk around and say everything is just perfect and everything's fine and I'm a bliss bunny, you're in denial. And you are, I hate to say it, but you're part of the problem. You don't want people to be overly negative, but if someone's moving your strings like a puppet, and you're being manipulated and something's feeding off your energy and you cannot break free and you don't feel normal, then chances are you are not, and something is affecting you. And my book is there to tell people what it is and what to do about it.
Well, you walk around and you're like a bright ray of sunshine, right? You glow.
But
I'm sure that you're fighting it too as well. And what do you do to stay bright, to stay focused and in the light?
You know, that's such a great question, because like most people of the light, I have faced incredible darkness in my life, right? So the more light a person has, usually the worse their childhood has been, right? I have a saying, you know, the brightest candles get planted in the deepest darkness. I used to say God puts the brightest candles in the deepest darkness, but I don't believe that anymore. I think we do it to ourselves because we're codependent. So I believe God loves us. I don't think God chooses that for us. But I've been suicidal many times. I'm a recovering alcoholic, as you know. I inherited my father's alcoholism. I've been sober for 32 years, one day at a time. And I faced tremendous darkness and tremendous depression, terrible depression throughout my life. But what the 12-step programs taught me very early on was to ask for God's help. So there have been times when I literally had a gun in my hand, you know, and other things, and I looked down at them at that moment, and I was a teenager. Someone had just literally given me all these things. And I said, wow, I've just been given the tools for my destruction. Wonder what I'm going to do about that.
Yeah, I suppose if I'm going to take advice from somebody, I need to take advice and listen to somebody that's been to the edge of the cliff, right? And has, you know, tucked their toe out there and felt the edge of the cliff. That's who you want to listen to. You don't want to listen to somebody that's had an easy life and an easy go of it.
I can only speak for myself, but I can say that there are very few things, given my own experiences or those of my partners and close friends, that have prepared me for such that I can relate to almost anything that anybody's ever been through. So I'm not surprised. I'm not overwhelmed. It doesn't bother me. You know, I get it. Very empathetic.
We're going to be headed towards a break here. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to have you do some quick definitions for us. What is a walk-in? What is a possession? What is just a spirit? And what is an angel or an archangel? And how do you define the difference of those? Let's start with a walk-in. It's a term that's used a lot, and I'm not sure that people actually know what they're saying when they use those words. What is a walk-in?
Well, it's really interesting. A walk-in is a spirit that comes into a body that is already in existence. So a walk-in can come in any time after a person was born. Conceivably, I guess it could come in after they were conceived, but it's someone who literally takes possession of a body that had a different soul in it, or currently has a different soul in it. It's like literally stepping into a body.
And what is possession? Is that necessarily a walk-in, or is it like a square can be a rectangle situation?
I'm not good at math, so I'm going to skip that one.
Okay.
I'll give you a few examples. Had a situation where my cousin was very thin, wiry, very high-strung, typical ADHD when we were kids. got in a motorcycle accident. He was in the hospital in a coma for 3 weeks. He came out with the body of a football player. I mean, literally, in 3 weeks. Football player, didn't remember much of his childhood, was completely different. His entire attitude, speech pattern, way of walking, way of talking was slower and completely different. He never rebonded with his mother the way he had before. And it could be argued that he was taken over by a walk-in.
Let me jump in right there. Our guest tonight is Margot Mateus. Her website is freedbythelight.com. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More with Margot right after this short break. Stay with us. Are you a Coast Insider? I'm a Coast Insider. And you can sign up to become a Coast Insider and listen to the show live or on demand with your computer or mobile device. All audio streams are delivered in high-quality, crystal-clear audio. Your benefits include the last 5 years of audio archives, audio streaming, downloadable MP3s, media access through website or mobile apps, chat with the host and the special guest, iTunes podcast, and you also get a direct email to the show host. All of that right now at Coast to Coast AM. Just click on Coast Insider. There is a theme to the bumper music tonight, and that was Vehicle. You know that song. And our guest tonight is Margot Mateus. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More with Margot right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, first guest up, is Margot Mateus, and her book is Freed by the Light, True Stories of How the Supernatural Affects Our Lives. And Margot, we were talking about spirits and what those definitions are and were. My mom passed away last year, about a year ago. And she was one of the coolest, Red Edgar Casey, full-on into the paranormal and Ouija boards, and was just really a cool woman, right? And she passed away. And if anybody was going to come and do that visit in my bedroom at night, it would be her. But it hasn't happened yet. Am I doing something wrong? And how can I get this fixed?
That up, because so many people feel that way, right? People are so envious of people who get visitations, and you feel like, am I doing something wrong, or is it all a lie? And here's the skinny on that, Jimmy. So first of all, I tuned into your mother, and she was a way cool lady. We would have been best buds. And she's like digging on your show. She listens to you every night. I'm not kidding. And she's just so happy and proud of you. She also mentioned something about cooking. Did she cook for you a lot?
Yeah, she was the best.
Yeah, so she misses cooking for you. She's showing me food on the counter. So anyway, the thing is that we think on Earth we're trained by the media to think that death is the end, right? Or that when you die, you just have nothing else to do, right?
Right.
On Earth we have this big, huge life, you know, everything's full of working and all this busyness. And then when we die, there's just nothing to do. That's not true. The soul always has a purpose. So for myself, before I incarnated, I remember being up in heaven and teaching, right?
Right.
So when souls don't immediately come back and connect with us, it's because they are doing a job. So they're either in training to do something to help others, they're either dealing with their karma or their pain from this lifetime, but they're involved in some sort of spiritual work of their own. So what I say to people like you and everyone who's listening, who's yearning for that connection, just be patient. I know it's so hard because you're missing so much and you need that. But understand, they are working. They are very, very, very busy. And I remember when I was 27 years old, my mother had breast cancer. And she asked me to come take care of her. Now, my father died when I was 6 years old. Never had any contact with him. My stepfather died when I was 7 and a half. And he came to me in dreams. We were very close. My father, nothing. So 27 years old, standing in the bathroom, combing my hair, I look over in the hallway, and there's my father. And I said, what are you doing here, telepathically? And he said, you take good care of your mother for me. Now, my father was a sheet metal worker, a blue-collar guy. He would talk like that. So I said, why haven't you come before? He said, I couldn't. I had to stay very far away from you.
And why do you think that? Well, you know, why do you think that is? Because my mom, if anybody was to do this, it would be her, right? She was just out of control, cool, just crazy,
totally,
you know.
Totally. Fun.
Yeah, and I would have expected, you know, that to happen, and it hasn't. So what you're saying is don't trip out, don't bum out. She's just busy.
She is busy. And time up there is very different than time here. So it's like a second up there. So for her, she may feel like she's been gone 4 minutes, really.
Right.
And so that those 4 minutes are really busy. You know, she could still be in transition trying to get her feet, you know, solid in heaven, so to speak. Just be patient and know that it will happen. And I'm getting a four. So four months, 4 years, something like that, something will happen within a four. But she, and sometimes also the soul has to move through layers, right, to get to us. People think, oh, it's just as easy as snapping your fingers or turning on a light to connect with them. It's not. You have to connect consciousness. So it is, it's a bit of a doing.
Well, and it's the same thing for you, too. How do you turn it on and turn it off? Or is it always on and you just have to ignore it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We talked about this before. When I was younger, I felt like the scanner movies, which dates me, but, you know, just the constant voices in my head and being an empath, I soaked up everything and it was terrible. Over the years, I've learned to do that. And one of the ways that I do that is I close my aura. And I always teach people this. Everybody listening, you need to close your aura. What's your aura? Your aura is your energy field. Everything has one, including plants and everybody. We all have an energy field. You have to kind of see yourself encapsulated in a bubble of light, completely sealed up, but it, like permeable. Light can get through, but nothing else can. Anything that's denser than light can't really get in. And you really have to do that. So I was taught to do that in my early 20s, and I've been doing it ever since. And now, it's so funny, you know, when I was verified in the lab as a healer, they took a map of my aura. And I have this huge antenna up above my head, and it comes out on both sides. And it just has this massive antenna around my crown chakra, which is really funny. And now, I mean, I ground and I do certain things to connect, and I shut down sessions after I'm done working with clients.
And
but
what,
I'm always connected.
Yeah, and exactly. And what is it like that with a client? What are their expectations? You know, I mean, because they obviously need a lot. They're in a bad place, probably. They need questions answered, and you've got to be on your game. How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, it's about surrender. I just really have to tune in to the angels, and I just get very quiet, and I become a channel, and I just focus on the immediate moment. And I with that person's permission, I go in their energy field. I see what's going on. Sometimes it looks like a movie, and I have to kind of figure out who the players are and then work my way in from there. But it's really moment to moment in the present. I remember one time I was working with this lady, and I met her at a holistic fair, and she heard me give a talk on releasing pain and trauma with the angels. And she looked completely distraught, and she came up to me afterwards and grabbed my hand and said, I want to talk to you. I said, okay. So she came down to my booth, and I looked at her, and she was in huge chains, thick chains. Psychically, I could see this. And I said to her, you're in chains. And she burst out crying. She said, I know, but I don't know why. So we did a session, and I got into her energy field, and I saw that she was owned by the dark. And so I got in there, and the darkness said they had her. And I said, why? And they said, she's ours. I said, no, she's not, because I could feel her energy, and I knew that she was of the light. And I said, well, give her soul back. And they said, no, but I didn't know what to do. I looked at the angels, of course, because I never do anything without the angels. So anybody that's listening, I never go into this stuff by myself. I don't go in unprepared. You know, I have a huge, huge arsenal of light and power behind me. So I went to the angels, and I said, what do I do? And this was hysterical, Jimmy. They said, ask for the paperwork. Ask to see the paperwork.
The paperwork.
Yep.
And
this is the beginning of my understanding of the spiritual hierarchy. So I turned to the dark, and I said, show me the papers. And they showed me a scroll, this big, long scroll. And it was said 1400 at the top. And that's when they got her soul. And I said, show me how you got her soul. And she was being tortured in France as a witch. And, you know, they would torture them until they proclaimed their allegiance to the dark, even though it wasn't true. And literally at that moment, the dark came up as it did and said, I'll take that. And I said, that's pretty cool. You didn't earn that. It's not yours. You can't keep it. And the angels negotiated an exchange, and she got her soul back. And literally, her entire life is different.
And it had nothing to do with what she was doing today.
Nothing.
Wow.
She was a slave for 600 years.
Wow.
She showed up at my house a month later at a party I had. They did not recognize her when she walked in my door.
These people
look like night and day. The photos in my book, the things you see in my presentations, that they don't even literally look like the same people.
And what do you say to those out there? And I understand hobbies and having fun, but that are out there looking for spirits in their house. They're doing ghost hunting because they've watched a couple of TV shows, or they fired up the Ouija board. And
don't do it. That's what I say. Don't do it.
Is that the quickest way to attracting the dark?
Some people have it in their lineage. Some people have had curses placed on them. You know, you tend to see families that struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. And things like that, you know, that there's some kind of a curse in the lineage or something happened, a transfer of power way back when. But, yeah, no, don't do that kind of stuff. Because, and I've seen that you've said this somewhere, there's nobody good waiting around a Ouija board.
Right.
So we talked about what's the difference between, you know, walking and a possession. A walking can be sort of an agreement. You're like, hey, dude, I don't want this body anymore, man. I'm out of here, right?
Right.
And also at the moment of trauma, our spirits very often come out of our bodies, right?
Right.
So it's easy, but the problem is you can get locked out of your body if something else is waiting to get in. And let me tell you, everybody that's listening, do you know what wants to get in your body? Angels do not possess people. Angels support people. Who wants to get in your body is an agent that wants to use you to either enjoy its addictions or spread evil and some sort of influence on this planet. So there is never, ever, ever a good possession. And what I do is a channel, you might say, well, you're opening yourself up to energies. I'm only opening up to energies that I know, that I respect, and I trust implicitly.
You just said something very, very interesting. When a walk-in or something takes over your body, you are not in, what happens to you? Where are you when that occurs?
Well, it's really interesting because there's a story about this in my book. So this guy, lineman for electric company, hardworking guy, hit the booze too hard and went to rehab. And when he was in rehab, he was at a really dark point in his life, very weak, and he actually left his body. He was taken over in rehab. The story's in my book. We have the before and after pictures in the book. And he got taken over by this guy that was a total alcoholic, total porn addict, cheated on his wife, started collecting guns and arsenal, started telling his wife he would be American Psycho, but he would get away with it. I mean, went from a sweet, loving, kind, and gentle man to a complete and total pig.
Right.
And she sent me a photo of this guy, and she said, is this man my husband? And I looked at her Facebook page, and I saw her wedding photo, and I looked at this guy, and what I wanted to write was, this guy's a pig, but I didn't. I said, this man is not your husband. She said, I know it. And he lived with them for 4 years. And what I was able to do with the help of his daughter, who's extremely psychic.
Oh, you mean the bad guy was there for 4 years?
The bad guy for 4 years.
Oh, my.
He traumatized the family.
Right.
You know, cheated on her, drank all the time, went to bars all the time.
Right.
Very frightening. And he wasn't evil, though. He was just the spirit of a disgusting, you know, addicted person who wanted to keep doing his addiction. So anyway, we negotiated with his spirit, and I was able to talk to Chris's spirit, who was the actual guy, and he said, I want to get back in my body, but I can't. He's too strong. So I actually had to do some work on the other side with some powers and try to make that happen for him. And we did make it happen, and he is now back in his body. And he remembers these things very dimly. It's kind of like being in a blackout. The person is sort of pushed to the side.
Wow.
Something's happening. They can't really control it. They may punch through for a moment or two, but then they're overpowered.
Right. Wow, that is just frightening to think about, just to even contemplate being in that kind of position and how frustrated, helpless, right?
Yes, completely. He said, I want to come back, but I can't.
Now, one of the things that freaks me out the most is this interdimensional netherworld that is out there where, you know, you hear the EVPs and you know that there's spirits out there struggling, either because they don't know where they are, maybe they're lost, and they're trying to communicate. Is that part of the afterlife, or what is that when... You know, there's a being there that just wants to hang out.
I guess it's a form of the afterlife. It's not much of a life because they're stuck.
Right, right.
So I feel really bad when I watch ghost stories because people come in and they, first of all, they always yell. A ghost can hear you telepathically. You don't have to yell to get it.
Right.
Are you here? Can you hear me?
Right.
You can never say a word and the ghost would hear you just fine. And then they always treat them adversarially, right?
Right.
So they don't approach them and say, hey, let me hang out with you and really listen to you. They objectify the ghost. Now, some of these ghosts are truly malevolent beings, and they need to be dealt with spiritually and removed in that way and vanquished or whatever you want to call it. But a lot of these things, they're traumatized. So they need empathy. They're just like people. They're just the remnants of people. It's the spirit of a person who's been traumatized and was caught in an eternal feedback loop of an emotion or replaying a trauma. Just like we get stuck in trauma in the physical body,
right?
You can get stuck spiritually too. So these people need empathy, and they need someone to come in and just kind of show them, look, you know, here's the options. So sometimes when I'm trying to get rid of someone who's been of the possessing entity, they've been taught that the light will kill them, and so they're afraid of the light. So what I tell them is I go, you know what, just put a little bit of your energy into the light, just to see if it's any bit and see what happens to it. Because as you know, we're all connected to our energy wherever we are. So when they feel how good that feels, and they feel how releasing and light it is, and how wonderful and warm, they usually will just flow themselves into it and go that way.
Can you see them? I mean, you have a lot of magic about you. Can you actually see these spirits?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yes.
And take me through that. We're going to head to a break, and I'm going to let everybody know. We're going to open up the phone lines.
I'll tell you after the break.
Okay, the phone lines are just are going nuts, and I can't wait to get to that. But take me through that. Do you turn down the lights? Are you burning sage? Is it like that? Is there a ceremony involved? Or do you just go sit down and start rapping?
I have a grounding technique that I do. It takes about 5 to 10 minutes. I ground to the earth, I ground to the light, I ground to the four directions. I put protections around me, and I call in my archangels. I call in the angels of the person that I'm working with, and I give a very strong instruction that only information and healing comes through. That's for that person's highest good.
Say that. Right. Say that again.
That only information and healing come through that is for that person's and my highest good.
Wow.
Yes. Never give a reading with anybody that doesn't do that, because it's not safe.
And what about, okay, let's stay right on that path. What about the person that is looking at you as a skeptic? Like, this ain't going to work. I'm only here because my wife wants me to be here. Here we go.
Well, you know, it's really funny because Dave got a reading with me. And I was, you know, here's another distinction. I always ask permission to enter a person's energy field because the light is not invasive. The light is respectful. The dark will just take you over, but the light is always respectful, and it does everything with full disclosure and full permission. So when I asked permission to be in his energy field, I looked in his heart, and I didn't see his wife there. I said, I see a blonde in your heart. He said, oh, I don't know your blonde. I don't know your blonde. His wife had just found a sweatshirt with blonde hair in it in his car.
What?
On his back.
What?
Yeah, so we see it all.
And when you first... okay, I'm gonna ask a question for myself. When you first sat down with me, the very first time, what did you see? Was I dark? Was I light? Was I in between? Was I cool?
Well, you're very cool, but you got lighter by being at the conference. You were a little grayer.
I could see that.
Yeah, and you did. You got much lighter being at the conference.
Well, you know, I think part of that, and I would suggest this to anybody that's listening to the show, if you ever have the opportunity to go to a consciousness type of conference, to go, because it is, you are surrounded by people that are concerned, right? And that are generally, everybody's happy, everybody's cool, but when you go there, you pick up the vibe that is being put down around you, and it's a wonderful experience. And I see that and feel that every time I get there. I was probably a little stressed out in the morning. By the time I got to you, I started to chill out. But I definitely recommend that to anybody. Those types of conferences are wonderful for your soul.
They are, and I do want to give this caution. So just like anything else, spiritual events are feeding banquets for unfriendly spirits because people show up and they're open. So while you're attracting the light, you're also attracting all kinds of other things. So just like that guy, did you see Raphael?
Yes.
Who was sick.
Yes.
Yeah, he caught a spiritual crab. He caught a spiritual parasite, and he was ill, and he had a fever, and I came and I cleared him of it. And I see this all the time. People go to big events, especially spiritual events, and they don't close their aura before they go. Before you go to any major gathering, any kind of gathering, be sure to zip up that aura. My clients have a saying, Zuya.
Let me jump in right there. Our guest tonight, Margo Mateus. We're going to take your calls next. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM.